This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes as we continue today with our study of the all-sufficiency of the Bible, and we're on the particular point that the Bible is all-sufficient, morally speaking. In other words, it's all-sufficient to give you the answer as to what is right and wrong, what you ought to do and ought not to do. But as a preface or introduction to that, we've been studying the various theories of men. In contrast to the fact that the Bible is all-sufficient to guide us into every good work, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the theories of men are contradictory of the Bible and therefore are false or wrong, and it is sinful to follow them. But we have been looking at in the last time or two at the so-called situation ethics. And continuing where we left off last time, I begin now to point out to you the pillars, the foundation rocks upon which situation ethics stands. It does not make a law out of scriptural statements. No matter what the Bible says, situation ethicists, even though they may claim to be Christians, even though they may even be professors in some church-operated seminary, they claim they do not make a law or anything binding out of scriptural statements. They claim a prayerful reliance on God's grace, but this is a perverted explanation of God's grace. They claim the law of love is the single norm or standard for action. They claim knowledge of the facts of the empirical situation, that is, the actual elements of the situation in which you're involved in having to make a decision. That is, shall I tell a lie here, or shall I be guilty of fornication here? Shall I have sexual relation with someone who is not my wife? Or shall I take this money? Or shall I take this food or bread which does not belong to me? And so they say the knowledge of the facts of the individual or particular empirical situation in all of its variety and relativity and particularity are very crucial. That you must take all of those facts in connection with the so-called law of love and make your decision. Further, they say that judgment, that is decision, which is a matter of responsibility, is to be made in humility. Now, let us look at some objections to situation ethics, objections which are made in the light of plain and simple Bible teaching. First of all, it overlooks clear commands of the Bible which are designed for every age. The Bible makes clear that certain things are right and certain things are wrong, no matter what the situation may be. It is never right to murder. It is never right to commit adultery. It is never right to be involved in fornication. It is never right to lie. It is never right to steal. And the Bible makes clear about these things. It lists catalogs of evil that are not to be designed simply for a peculiar or particular situation, but for any and all time. Let me read to you now from Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And here Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, is certainly making clear that the works of the flesh are always wrong. They're wrong for any and everybody in any and every situation. Notice clearly this language. Surely no honest heart could deny this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Fornication. Fornication's never right. It's always a work of the flesh. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice plainly, friends, the Bible makes clear that anyone who is guilty of these things and does not repent of them before his life is over and change his life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's just another way of saying that he will not be saved. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, we won't have time to look at it today, but you be reading it and we'll discuss it next time. The Apostle Paul made clear that those who reject God fall into grievous sins. And these things are wrong, always wrong, no matter who does them when. But our time is gone for today. I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be with us next time as we continue our study of the all-sufficiency of the Bible.